Hi, you're listening to In Between Visits, and my name is Dr. Christy Lewis. I'm a naturopathic doctor who is in practice for well over a decade. After years of clinical practice and working with thousands of people, a basic truth has been revealed. Behavior modification, as simple as it is difficult to implement, hence the birth of this podcast. If we all know what to do, then why aren't we doing it? With these short and sweet shares, I'm going to answer your questions about how to stay on track with your goals, support, inspire, and motivate you on your journey, see you in your struggles, affirm you in the challenge, and reassure you that you are not alone. Let's get started. Hey guys, it's Dr. Christy, and you are tuned in to In Between Visits. Thanks so much for being here. Dr. Rochelle and I are over the moon that you continue to show up and reach out with your comments and questions. You know, we love hearing from you, so keep them coming. Today, we are going to be continuing our conversation around lifestyle medicine, and we dive deep into the conversation about mindset, which, you know, both Dr. and Rochelle and I believe it's really, really important when it comes to how really we move through our lives and the choices we make. Obviously, you know, our beliefs impact our thoughts and our thoughts impact our realities. And so if we don't ever sort of stop and take a look at what is going on in our internal environment, then we may never truly understand why it is we do what we do. You know, that deeper meaning of if we all know what to do, why aren't we doing it? And so many of us, that does start with mindset. During this conversation, Dr. Rochelle and I really get authentic and share our own journeys around that and how our lives are influenced based on what is going on with our own mindset. So yeah, let's get started with this awesome conversation.
Hello, Dr. Rochelle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I'm so excited to talk about today's conversation and what we were gonna hash through with regards to lifestyle medicine. We've been working through all the different elements, you know, the sleep and stress, nutrition, mindset, and movement. And today we're going to continue that conversation and dive deeper into mindset, which in my belief, kind of what I see in practice, is probably one of the biggest pillars, even though it doesn't necessarily have any direct correlation to kind of what we think about, like making choices and how the body. So with you, what's your kind of thoughts around mindset and health?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, mindset is kind of, if people don't know, I'm sure they do, but it's your beliefs in the world and how they shape you, basically. And if you have a negative outlook on everything or very pessimistic, it's hard to make any positive changes. It's hard to basically show gratitude and be a happy, well-rounded person. And it's also can be difficult to get out of that slump and that cycle of negativity. So, I mean, we'll be talking about a few tools to get through that. But yeah, it's it has an impact on absolutely everything, every aspect about your life. Mindset impacts it. So you're right. It's a big topic.
It's a huge topic. And I mean, I think definitely breaking that down, you know, I think that was so, so important. So thanks for that. And the recognition that our beliefs really become our values, and then our values will reflect the choices we make. So when someone is trying to improve their health or optimize or in this place where they want to make change and they think it's all about, okay, well, I'm just going to act differently. Sometimes we really have to start and understand what are our beliefs, even about ourselves. You know, do we believe that we are worthy of, you know, making the time to go to a yoga class or to, you know, make that extra effort with our dinner preparation. And so often when I'm working with patients and they're trying to understand, you know, that catchphrase, if we all know what to do, why aren't we doing it? It really doesn't actually have to do with their, what would seem outward, the behaviors, but almost the beliefs about themselves and their abilities within that.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't know if you get some patients like this, Dr. Christy, but they're married to their disease and everything revolves around that disease. And it's really hard to get out of that cycle. And the same goes with chronic pain. Like everything revolves around it, and all the way down, like it affects sleep, which increases the pain sensitivity. And it's a vicious cycle to get out of. So my favorite is to get people when they're at a pivotal point. So to give an example, I just had this, he's a international business CEO, very, very successful man, but he also is extremely high stress, drinks too much, doesn't take care of himself, and he recently became a type 2 diabetic. He had a genetic predisposition for it, but his lifestyle, it was a big aggravator, and it just kind of shook him. He's like, holy crap, like this comes with a whole host of health concerns, and he just changed. He would do every single thing I told him to do, which is, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but he was just ready. He had that pivotal point where he was ready for change and he was listening. And I think that's my favorite time to get people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like we do what we do till we can't anymore. And, you know, so often is when we have to sort of bump up the realities that how we're thinking and how we're feeling about things are actually going to influence not only what we do, but also even the you know, sort of the return on investment from those things. And we'll get so much more from the choices we're making when we're in that place of feeling, you know, grounded and centered and living from. So I think it's just such an important recognition. As I will often, you know, when I'm working with patients and it's their first visit, and I'm sensing almost right from the beginning that they don't think it's going to quote unquote work. Yeah. So they're, you know, and I understand after potentially being through a conventional system where they felt maybe they haven't been heard, maybe feeling like there has been big gaps in their care, you know, maybe feeling a little bit disillusioned, but it's sort of that recognition right off the beginning. And often a question that I will ask is, you know, can you visualize yourself without this pain? Can you, you know, and then the underbelly of that, what would you lose if you don't have this symptom? And that sort of attachment we may have to certain aspects of self. I can speak from a very personal perspective where I certainly have a very, I'm a highly sensitive person, and I have a very reactive nervous system. And when I am, you know, not in alignment with self and I'm doing things like drinking more coffee or missing a meal, I have to ask myself, well, what am I getting from that behavior? You know, what am I actually, yes, it's, I'm busy and I'm making choices around that, but what am I getting? And it's a tough question because I want to say nothing. It's, you know, nothing. I don't mean to do this, but there is that maybe checkpoint, that authenticity and honesty to say, well, it kind of gives me that extra edge. It gives me that extra drive. I can, you know, I can pump out a bit more work, or I can, you know, move faster through my day. But as we all know, there's an underbelly and a cost to being out of alignment. So I think when we start to really get honest and sort of question the deeper meaning in, you know, what it is we're experiencing, then it opens up this whole area of opportunity where we can have sustainable change.
Yeah, for sure. And that's really, that comes with intuition, that's great of you that you can identify that may be an area to change. And that's the first step, is to identify areas to change. So I just want to give an example of, I have a family member and he makes great money, but hates his job. Can't stand it, but he's not looking for any alternative. He's like, this is my life. This is where I am. And I won't change. Like he won't acknowledge that this is a cycle that's just perpetuating his unhappiness. And of course that has an influence on the entire family, that depression and just hating everything about his life because of his work. It just brings everybody down and there's just no cycle to get out of it. So I feel like identifying what needs to be changed and creating an action plan to get there. And it's not easy. It's not easy to look in the mirror and figure that out.
Well, and I think a lot of these ingrained habits that we may have, you know, when we go back to that, our beliefs become our actions, and our actions become our reality. You know, we move into this, also it becomes part of our physiology. So when we always have done, we always respond or react, and that neuroplasticity of the brain, it's again, there is science in all of this as well. And so in the beginning, if it's feeling hard or feeling uncomfortable, for example, to pause and, you know, have a big glass of water instead of a coffee, or walk away from the computer and walk around the block, or be honest with self around, I hate this job, and what's the true cost of this to my health mentally and emotionally? Like, it's going to feel uncomfortable. Like, I think it's, again, we live in this adverse to any sort of discomfort, many of us, and we don't, you know, we do what we do because it's like what we've always done. But I think we have to almost learn to start to be okay and almost be able to lean in and expect that it might feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what, in this cycle of negativity and this negative outlook, it predisposes you, as you know, to a host of health conditions, mental health, lowered immunity, cardiovascular health. Like, it's not just mindset. It comes with like physical like issues as well. So creating the coping skills to get through those hard times, I think, is what we need to talk about today.
Absolutely. So yeah, seeing the importance and understanding that our mindset is going to have that twofold approach. It's going to impact the actual choices we make, right? So if we're not happy, then we're going to be constantly looking and distracting and moving away from that dissatisfaction. So, you know, our behaviors are going to be in alignment with our mindset. And then, as you mentioned, our physiology starts to feed in that as well. So looking at shifting behaviorally, then we want to be able to, as you said, start with first identifying. So do you have any sort of recognition or anything that you've seen work for yourself or for practice around that first step? Like, what would be that first step? Or how do you start to guide people when you see that their mindset is having such a negative impact on their overall health?
Yeah. So the first thing, as we spoke about, identify the actual area of change that it has a big impact on your outlook in life. So that's the number, whether it's job, financials, like just like facing it. I'm a huge, huge proponent of every negative thought, counteract it with a positive one. So I've never done it before. Well, maybe you could think it's an opportunity to learn something new, or it's too complicated. I'll break it down into small steps. Like, you know, just take every negative thought and counteract it. And eventually you start to believe that. I remember years ago, I was completely stressed out, so much work on the table. I was taking it out on my husband. So I was angry all the time. And the poor guy, I was just so irritable. And then finally he's like, look, you got to change your mindset, because like it's affecting me too. And frankly, I don't want to be around you. And I was like, oh yeah, I can see that from your perspective. So right from that day, I completely changed. Like every time I felt anger, I was able to like counteract it. So it's a choice. It's a choice. And sometimes it takes somebody telling you. My husband had to, but people don't want to be around negative people or angry people or anybody that's so agitated like that. So yeah.
Well, I think you raise a really good point, because again, you know, we often look at mindset relative to whether we're doing individual care or group care as naturopathic doctors, but there really is that rippling effect, whether it's, you know, within your home, within your community. And when we look at leadership and how important that is right now with how much challenge is going on, you know, leadership really is that recognition that, you know, we want to try to move towards gratitude and service, and that requires that spiritual hope. I recently listened to a podcast with Tara Brach, who's one of my favorite, all-time favorites, you know, meditation and psychologist in North America. And she did a beautiful, in my opinion, recognition of spiritual hope, which is that dance between acceptance and, you know, not cherry clothing, right? Like, what have you ever come bumped up across that where you're feeling something, like you're feeling really maybe disconnected, or you're feeling, and someone says, oh, you know, well, don't worry about it. Well, no, we want to learn to lean into the, like, phase one is actually learning to lean into potentially the discomfort or the negativity and bring awareness to that. Maybe that's been a knee-jerk reaction in your body your whole life. So it's about bringing awareness to it and the realities around it. And then is from there that you're able to see the potential opportunity or, you know, honor and be able to see that there may be a different way to think about it or be in it. So it's that two-prong approach of accepting what is, and then being able to, see how you can move through it in a way that is going to, you know, impact your health both mentally and emotionally and physically.
Absolutely. And I know the saying, you are the company you keep.
Right.
So it's so true. Surround yourself with positive mm-hmm. people. And if somebody's constantly negative around you, maybe that's somebody you don't want to be around. Now, if it's your spouse, then perhaps that takes some counseling and working through yeah. it. But recognize that's an issue because it brings everybody down and affects everyone. So like friends are probably easier to separate from than your spouse, right? So
Or family members.
Yes.
Setting boundaries is key.
Yeah.
Key around that, you know, again, it's people think about boundaries as behavior, like, oh, I set a boundary. I am, you know, not going to make a Sunday dinner for every, you know, for my extended family every week. Boundaries can be energetic. Boundaries can be emotional. It's like, when you're walking down the street and we see that neighbor that always wants to complain about problems. It's like, you have the empowerment within yourself to smile and move on. We don't have to take it all on. We don't have to engage in every conversation. And I think that's a really, really good point, especially if you're looking to, you know, become more hopeful and become more aware of it. It really starts with sometimes one thing I've heard a really great, sort of moving beyond that identifying, okay. And sometimes it's just in one aspect of your life. Sometimes we see it weave through others, but maybe in your health, you're feeling really negative. You're like, no matter what I do, I always move back to old patterns. Like I do really for a while. I make sure that I don't have, sugar after dinner. And then all of a sudden it all always comes back to that. So if you're realizing that you're always in that negative thought, then that, as you say, recognition and identifying, and then moving into actual, like, okay, well, now what am I going to do about it? So surrounding yourself with positive people. I love that. Gratitude is another one. You mentioned that mm-hmm. earlier, right? So gratitude, yeah. I think, is so, so key. And sometimes having a gratitude buddy, you know, someone that you can, like, just doesn't even have to be a hello or goodbye. Just like every day you text three things. Let's sort of check in. I started doing that with a friend through the pandemic, and it was so, so helpful around just reminding myself, yes, there's a lot to be worried and doom and gloom. Sometimes it was literally like the sun is shining. I have a morning coffee and I love my dog. it shifted your brain chemistry and starts to shift that angioplasticity.
Absolutely. Actually, on a physiological level, it really does shift your brain chemistry. Like, this isn't just fluff. It really does work. So a mm-hmm. gratitude journal, surrounding yourself with positive people. Another thing I would say, if you check in how your sleep, like chronic fatigue, like just being exhausted all day, obviously that's going to make some people pessimistic or more irritable and just negative in general. So just going back to the foundational lifestyle factors, drinking half a bottle at night, I know that makes me feel like garbage the next day and extremely irritable. For instance, my mother, I shared a bottle of wine with my mother when she was here, and the next day I was just awful. I just, it shifts my personality. So I just can't do that on a regular basis. And things like that, the foundation, the lifestyle, can make a big effect on your outlook on life. And of course, your outlook on life can have a big effect on the lifestyle factors as well. So it's cyclical.
And that's why I find this so fascinating when you look at it relative to lifestyle medicine and what we offer in the way of treatments is that it is that concept. You know, I will have patients come in who are, you know, potentially thinking that they need to be, maybe they've got a friend or someone they read or watched something, listened to a podcast, and they thought, I need to do a candida diet or I need to do a elimination diet. And then we go through their whole health history. We spend that, you know, hour and a half together really getting to know them. And actually putting them on that type of restricted nutrition protocol would be a disservice. I mean, we have that, you know, one of our mantras was just really first do no harm. And so the realities for them is their start point actually is shifting the mindset and this belief system that that's what they need to do to be healthy, or that's what they need to do. You know, I have to do it this way. It has to be prescriptive, and allowing themselves to realize that maybe some of that thinking of what they need is actually based in some mindset that is no longer serving them, that, you know, that they can actually be able to be an optimal health and still have, you know, balance and harmony within their food choices and movement every day.
Yeah, balance and harmony. You said it. Restriction never ends well. That's my, over my 10 years experience, never ends well, and it's never long term. So absolutely, I agree.
So when we look at this relative to the times, I mean, let's call this times for, you know, through the pandemic, when, you know, things have been, you know, constantly getting this like difficult messaging through news and, you know, sort of challenges all around us, when life really is hard, you know, like, it, sometimes we have perception that things are not going our way. And then there's sometimes there is realities. So how can you coach or move someone into, you know, like looking at that mindset and during really difficult times?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's okay to ask for help. So not everybody has a support person. Some people are very fortunate to have that support person. So talk it out, ask for help. And there's also wonderful, wonderful therapists as well. It doesn't have to be somebody in your close circle, but talking it out, getting it out on the table is the first step. And then you can kind of break it down into how you can change things and small steps and how to get there. You have a goal, you break it down into small steps every day. It's a, you know, it builds on itself rather than looking at this like this whole issue in the future. How do I improve it in the present? So focusing on the present, what can you do now? I don't know if I explained that well, but
no, you did actually. I love that. I mean, and I think even with some of our treatment plans and our health plans, and, you know, I still, after 16 years of practice, still really, it's the art of the medicine. It's like, okay, what is the most important thing right now? And one small shift, like waking up and breathing in and out, you know, doing a box breath, which is that inhale for four, hold for four, exhale for four, hold for four, and doing that 3 to 5 times just to reset and start the day in your body, so that you have that ability to connect in with that cognitive function, that more executive part of our brain, which is really kind of guiding us and telling us how we think and telling us how we feel. And we're not just running on adrenaline. We're not just running on cortisol. We're not just running on yesterday's problems and, you know, worry about tomorrow's future issues. And I think there is so much goodness in that. And sometimes we forget the simplicity of, you know, really it is about being able to be in the moment and be able to like influence what's happening right now. I mean, if you have woke up and had a coffee and a chocolate chip muffin, it's done. Now you're in this moment. Now you have a choice. You could have a glass of water. You could have a second coffee. Like, it's like, shake it off and keep moving. And I think that that's so important when we're looking at health and behavior modifications, because so many of us are caught in what happened an hour ago or what happened a decade ago. So the letting go of the used to's and just being in the moment, I think, is so, so key.
Yeah. Yeah. And smiling, looking for humor, what makes you laugh? I mean, that can absolutely, I feel like this is common knowledge, but sometimes you need to be reminded that humor can totally change the way you're thinking in the time. So it could be, I don't know, a show, a movie, anything, talking to a friend, but humor is a big part. It can help. Like smiling when you're feeling upset, smile. It actually changes the way you feel. It's incredible.
That's so true, hey. And I think I think that's like such an important lesson for me, because I am a deep, deep thinker. I always have been. And so, you know, sometimes it really is just choosing to be light, just choosing to, you know, choosing to dance in your kitchen, you know, choosing to, we just don't snap our fingers and be in the moment. You know, I can find myself sometimes, you know, making dinner and I'm scurrying around the kitchen, maybe even feeling a little bit resentful or tired. And then a song will come on. Usually it's like some song from the early 90s brings me right back to high school. And all of a sudden I'm shifted and I'm like dancing in my kitchen or smiling. My daughter's like, what is going on here, mom? But it's that realization that what we surround ourselves, you know, our senses, what we're seeing, what we're listening to, essential oils or, you know, beautiful fresh baked cookies, joy, remembering of happy times. And so, you know, using that, those simple things to shift your physiology, and then that will also have a huge impact of your mindset.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want to summarize?
I think we should. I feel like there was a lot going on here, but in all good stuff. So, I mean, really that recognition around mindset in the role it plays. Like, yes, we love to look at nutrition, we love to look at movement, you know, love to look at those labs and understand what's going on in your biochemistry and your physiology. Like, it's all important stuff, sleep, stress management. If that is all on a foundation of negativity or of a predisposition to being glass half empty, it's tricky. It's tricky to move forward. And then it starts to kind of crumble on top of each other. So phase one is sort of realizing, wow, wait a second, maybe I need to look at this from a different access point. Maybe I can look at this from a perspective of spending some time and energy on my mindset before I spend time and energy on what, you know, how many grams of carbs I'm eating a day. So seeing that importance. And then from there, I know we talked about the gratitude journal, we talked about breathing, we talked about senses, like what are you seeing, what are you smelling, what are you listening to? What are the few you mentioned?
Surround yourself with positive people, and then bring out the humor in your life, and identify the issue and break it down and how do you improve it?
Yes. Call on someone, call on a coach, call on a counselor, call on, you know, a naturopathic doctor, someone who will be able to support you as you're transitioning and making such an important shift in both your mind and your body.
Yeah. And you know what? We've all had a negative mindset. Like, that's, it's normal. It's normal. It becomes pathological when it's long-term and all the time. So that's when that issue really needs to be addressed. You're allowed to be negative for a day, like, or a few days, or even a couple weeks. It's when it's like, that's your complete mindset. That's who you are. That's when it becomes an issue and it's going to affect your physical health. So give yourself permission to be negative. You don't have to be positive Penny all the time, but identify it. If it's becoming long-term, that's, it needs to be fixed. So
amazing. We did it. Minutes.
Yes.
Such a topic. So much. It's just a little teaser. And I mean, that circles us out all around with the different elements of the lifestyle medicine. Dr. Rochelle, who is my co-host now with In Between Visits, and, you know, ready and available now for one-on-one private care. We have some groups running. So by all means, we would love to hear from you. And we're going to be doing more of these. And if you didn't catch the ones we've already did, we've got some great topics of nutrition and movement, mindset. So we're just gonna keep sharing this stuff with you, and we're so grateful that you are out there listening.
Super exciting. Thank you, Dr. Christie, for having me once again.
Okay, great. I'm gonna go down and listen to like 1991 Madonna.
I love it. Okay. Bye now. You too. Bye now.